Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Forerunner Fellowship's prophetic history. This is session 3, entitled Future Promises. Tonight, it's a bunch of stories and dreams. It's a ton of dreams. And I am not probably going to be able to go at a pace that you're going to track with all of it. That's okay. It's recorded. You can listen to it again. I want to get it all recorded in one message. So there's going to be a lot of it that you're just going to go, huh, how does that connect to the what? You're going to have to listen to it again. If you really, really want the details, you're going to have to listen to it twice. And that's okay. I want to get it recorded. For me, this has been the most fun couple of weeks getting ready for this message, because there has been so much prophetic content that has been laying in my journals for years that is about right now, that I did not have the wherewithal to put together to know that we were walking in this moment until I started to look at all the details. So this last couple of weeks has been exciting and surprising in how much fun it's been. And for those of you who are not accustomed to or familiar with the concept of a person or a church being led by dreams, buckle up, because that's how we operate around here. It wasn't my choice. I would have gone a little bit more practical route. The Lord says, when I speak to a prophet, I speak to him in dark sayings. And so here we are. So I just want to give that as a little bit of the introduction. And I want to jump in talking about where we're at right now and where we're headed moving forward. And again, there's a lot of dreams. So I'm just going to dream you. And you're going to have to just go back and listen to it later if you really want to be able to put the details together. But I can tell you this, if you only catch a third of it, you'll leave encouraged tonight. So here we go. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest on us as we hear a storyline brought together by your spirit of dreams given to members of this congregation and our leadership team, myself, over the years, that have helped us to perceive what you're doing right now and help us to see what's going on. I thank you, God, for allowing us to accidentally stumble right into your perfect plan. And by your kindness, your leadership, Holy Spirit, we ask you tonight, give us eyes to see and ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, session 3, prophetic promises. Well, this started, these dreams and prophetic information, prophetic leading about this church started before we started the church. I told you guys a little bit about that. But what I want to do in this session is I want to give you many, many dreams about what the Lord has spoken to us about as a congregation. And I want to start with the moment that we're in right now, or a little bit of backstory on the moment that we're in right now. I know that the Lord has used dreams in the past to lead me and to help us as a leadership team here and a leadership team over at the prayer room to know direction, steps in life. But as I was preparing for this particular session, I was kind of shocked with how much information there was that was there that I was not privy to. The stuff that was about what we're doing right now that I just had not perceived. And so the real statement that I want to make tonight is that His leadings are clear about where we're at right now and the moment that we're about to enter into. So I'm going to start with a dream that I had just about, I don't know, 10 months ago. It was in July of 2017. I had a short and very simple dream. It was very short. In the dream, Pastor Burton, the pastor of this congregation, approached me in the dream to tell me that some things had shifted significantly for him, and that he was going to be transitioning, and so was Whitestone. Now, I had no idea what that would mean, and when I had that dream, I probably came up with 10 ideas of what I thought that meant. And it's not necessarily how things are going, but it was a dream that was very clear about Pastor Burton coming up to me in the dream and saying things are going to be transitioning for me and transitioning for Whitestone, and so that was some kind of leading back in July of last year. So the Lord, again, going before us and starting to kind of pave the way of what was going to be happening. Well, another dream I want to tell you is one I had in 2015. I had a short dream. Well, it wasn't as short as the other one, but a short dream about the future of Forerunner Fellowship related to the importance of us moving to Sunday morning service. So in the dream, I'm just going to read to you. In the dream, I am driving around with Adam, Pastor Adam McCain, Amy MI's pastor. And it's like I'm taking him with me to see what we're supposed to do with this older building. There's this building that we were looking at. And Adam said, I'd almost tell you it's worth it to move here and to go to Sunday morning services. And I quickly asked in my dream, you believe in Sunday mornings enough that you think it's the right thing for us to move over here to make Sunday morning services work? The reason I said it that way, it was clear in the dream that the circumstances of moving into this space was going to take some faith and take some work. It wasn't going to be just the easiest, simple, like, quick, easy move. And so I was asking him, you think that really it's the right thing for us to move to Sunday mornings? And his reply was, yeah, I do. And as soon as he said, yeah, I do, I woke up from the dream, and I don't have this happen very often, but the Holy Spirit was resting on me as soon as I woke up in my bed. And the Holy Spirit was emphasizing that statement, move to Sunday mornings, move to Sunday mornings. And I woke up and I told Amy, I said, Amy, I feel certain we're supposed to move to Sunday mornings. It was a very clear dream. It was one of those that there are not so many dreams that I wake up from the dream with clarity exactly what I'm supposed to do with the information. I woke up with conviction. We need to start eyeing how to move to Sunday mornings. The Lord is moving us that direction. And so I became clear that that's what we were supposed to do. But again, you just can't make a step. You just can't make something happen. The Lord's got to open some doors. There's finances involved. There's all kinds of things. And so while I was sure that was the direction of the leading of the Lord, there was nothing we could do about it the next day. That was in December of 2015. Well, then in February of this year, so just a month and a half ago or something, I had another dream. And I don't want to overstate the prophetic side of this dream. I mean, I can't help what I dream. I've certainly tried. But I can't help what I dream, but I did have a lot of things going on in the natural for this dream, not for the others, but for this dream I'm about to tell you about what was going on that you could go, you were just dreaming about what you were doing. Well, maybe, but I'll tell you one of the ways that the Lord leads me often. He'll give me dreams about what I'm doing with just enough information to stay this track. Stay this course. Keep moving this direction as opposed to consider all these other options. Stay this course. That's typically what those dreams mean to me. And I know that because it's a way that the Lord has led me for years. So I want to read this dream to you that I had in February. I had a dream where I was out looking at various lease space options for Foreigner Fellowship so that we could move to Sunday morning services. So again, in the dream, I'm eyeing Sunday morning services. I'm eyeing a lease space. I was looking at a space on Cooper Street over by the AMF bowling alley. And I was looking through the window and I recognized the potential of this space that it had for us. And I made some notes about it on my notepad. And I saw a man a little ways off in a business suit whose face I could not see. And I knew this was the Holy Spirit. And I knew that I was supposed to talk to him about leasing the space. So just the takeaway from that, continue to dialogue with the Holy Spirit about the subject of moving to Sunday mornings and which lease space is the right lease space. That was the takeaway. Well, I want to tell you a fun one I had back in 2014, okay? And I've been sitting on this dream since 2014. I categorize every dream I get. I have 30 Word docs that each of the Word docs is a different subject matter. And each of those Word docs is filled. Some of them are 50 pages of dreams. It is unbelievable the amount of prophetic information we get around. It's a little unnerving. It's not like I don't have anything else to do besides try to figure out where dreams go and categorize them. But I'll tell you what, the information is always helpful later. So I've been sitting on this dream since 2014. I didn't really know what to do with it. I had a dream where there were a bunch of us crammed into a narrow storefront lease space. And I saw people from Foreigner Fellowship there, as well as many visitors whose faces I did not recognize. There was a real celebration feel because we had just gotten into this building and we were in the process of figuring out how to move everything in and get settled in. Everyone was very excited for us and people were coming to check out this new church. That's how people were perceiving us moving into this lease space, this new church. It's kind of this new thing that's happening. Well, little did they know, we've been around for quite a minute. But new church was how they were perceiving it. And in that season, people were finally getting our vision and were excited about it. Now, I had that dream in 2014, and I was hoping we would buy a building or be given one or something. I wasn't thinking we were going to have a stagger step of move into a lease space. So I didn't exactly know what to do with this dream until I find myself looking at lease spaces and go, this space seems kind of familiar, not the way that it physically looks, but way that it physically feels. Narrow, and lease space and crammed. And I'm like, man, I find myself walking into a dream. All right, well, now I want to give you a little bit about the words or words that we've been given or dreams about the time in between, because there's going to be a little bit of a stagger step between us moving into that lease space. We've been talking about this for weeks around here. But there's going to be a stagger step about before we move into that lease space. I'm just so thankful that the Lord in his kindness has given us even information about the stagger step for 2 or 3 months or whatever it winds up being, okay? It's his kindness to give us that sort of a detail to help us to know we're on the right track. So first, Cherish had a dream in the beginning of this year in January. And when she had the dream, I was thinking the dream was about some things that we had just been talking about. It wasn't. Most of the time, not all, but most of the time when the Lord gives you prophetic information, it's about your future, not about your past, most of the time. And so I was actually wrongly interpreting the dream when she had it. I think we all were. But she had this dream. It was very simple. She said, I just woke up from a super simple dream. I don't remember the details, but I was telling you that the Lord told me he was pleased with Forerunner Fellowship, and we are doing exactly what we need to be doing. Now, this is Cherish hearing from the Lord, a word to speak to me as the pastor and then for us to have as a congregation. You're right where I want you, Forerunner Fellowship. You're right where I want you. Well, that's kind of cool, except that 2 weeks later, we get told by Pastor Burton that we need to move out of this building and that we don't know where we're going to go. Now, that's an interesting kind of a combination word. You're right where I want you. Oh, good. We're at Whitestone. Everything's good. Oh, hey, by the way, you're getting kicked out of Whitestone. Wait, what? And in the midst of that, the Lord's imparting peace that he sees us. He knows right where we're at. We're not off course. We're not, you know, the abandoned stepchild. We are right where he wants us, right where he wants us. And that really, it did give me peace. Because as soon as I started to process that, I went, we're right where we're supposed to be. I don't know how things are going to pan out, but I am not freaked out. And I can tell you from other seasons and other situations that it is a very uncomfortable thing as the leader of a little thing to not have any idea where you're about to be and for the weeks to be ticking down quickly on you. That is descending upon you like an army. It is a very troublesome place to be in your spirit, but I just have been walking in such peace. I've been like, I just know we're right where we're supposed to be. I don't know how this is going to go. And so another dream in February, this one I had. I had a dream where I was out looking at various lease space options for, oh, I told you that one already. Okay, well, good. You already heard that one. So, yeah, bottom of the next page, not the top of the last one. One of those days where another cup of coffee would have been helpful. Okay, so I had this dream. This one was in 2016, okay? So this was the first dream that I had about what I think. I knew I could be wrong. You know, the thing about the prophetic, you're kind of always wrong. You know, you do your best to think you know what it means, and then you're kind of wrong, and then you look back at it in hindsight and go, ah, that's what that meant. And the Lord was totally on, and we were totally off with our interpretation, and yet we still try to figure it out because that's actually what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to partner and just fall short and be humble and eat it when we miss it. But let me tell you what I think this dream means, with all that as the precursor. This dream I had in October of 2016. In the dream, I was at a Sunday night Forerunner Fellowship service. So that's key. Sunday nights. And there were a lot more people there than we were used to. Tons of new faces that I did not recognize. And the room seemed bigger than Whitestone. And it felt like it was 2/3 full. I would guess where the chairs were. I would guess there were 100 people there. Some friends of mine had come to visit and were sitting on the front row. And I remember thinking that they had come on a great night because we were so full. Okay, so this is painting a picture. If these details are right, I think they are. It's about us being in a different church setting on a Sunday night and having service, but things starting to grow. That's what the picture is here. It wasn't Whitestone, and it wasn't the lease space that we're heading towards. It was some sort of stagger step in between. Well, I got another one for you. Got another dream here, and both of these dreams are painting a picture of a building that the Vine Fellowship that we're about to move into in 2 weeks fits perfectly, just so you know. I mean, it fits perfectly, okay? This next dream I had, this was the very beginning of this year. In my dream, Foreigner Fellowship had recently moved locations, and we were now meeting in another church's sanctuary. So no longer this one, another church's sanctuary. Now, this is before Burton has told us that we're going to need to move out, okay? Burton tells us that about four weeks later, something like that. And so I'm having this dream very timely that we're going to be moving to another church's sanctuary, all right? The sanctuary was large and well done. The back of the stage had a wood wall, and the room just felt good and well put together. I just got to stop real quick. I went into the Vine Fellowship about a week or 2 weeks ago, and I walked in, and I was like, oh, my gosh. This place is awesome. As soon as I walked in, I was like, this place feels good. And then I remembered the dream. I was like, oh, my gosh. I look at the back of the stage, wood wall. It looked beautiful. I mean, wood wall is probably one out of every one churches these days. But my point is, it did fit the picture. It fit the mold very well. Okay, so well done, well put together. In the dream, we had grown to over 100 young people. Many of them new faces I didn't recognize. Same language as the other dream. Our congregation was buzzing with excitement, and there were 20-year-olds all over the room having a great time and ready to engage in worship. And Chris Rice led worship, and it was a sweet time together. Well, what's interesting that we didn't put these details together in any sort of intentionality is Chris Rice is scheduled to lead worship the first time we're over at the Vine. It's just kind of interesting how that kind of came together. So, I mean, I wasn't even putting these details together. I wasn't even thinking about this dream. I had it, I wrote it down, and then I forgot about it. That's how guys, there's so many dreams around here. It's not a lack of paying attention. It's way too much content to be a good steward of in the most now sense, okay? And so I had this dream, I wrote it down, I forgot about it. So then the other day, we're talking, and Andy or Lisa, somebody was like, hey, you know, Chris Rice is going to lead in worship for us over at the Vine, you know, the first week that we're there. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, are you serious? And they're like, yeah. And I go back and I read the dream, and I go, oh, my gosh, here he is. Well, in the last 2 years, Chris Rice only led worship for us one time. Am I wrong? One time in 2 years. And he's going to lead worship for us the first time that we're over at the Vine. And that wasn't like, hey, we're moving to the Vine, we need Chris Rice. That was just he was the guy on the schedule. You know, he would have done it here. I thought that was interesting. So we're in the process of trying to figure out, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What's the Lord up to? What are the next steps? And we don't have all the clarity yet, because I'm telling you, so much of what I'm telling you now that sounds like a fluid storyline, I wasn't clear on 3 weeks ago. I mean, I've got a clarity now, but 3 weeks ago, we were still trying to figure out what's the Lord doing and where are we going and what's he in, what's he not in, and all this information was together. But I'll just tell you, you got to sit down for 20 hours and read these dreams and put them together and think about them and pray to get clarity. So it's not like I didn't have other things going on, okay? So it took 20 hours of reading dreams and going, oh my gosh, this is that. And so we didn't have this clarity. But what we did have was, Andy brought to my attention a relationship that we've got in the city a few weeks back and said, hey, what if we approached Pastor Steve Reynolds over at the Vine Fellowship about maybe going over there on Sunday nights? Do you think that might be a good plan? I said, you know what? Hold on to that idea, but I like it. Let's see how things shake out. And so then Andy and I decided, okay, let's try to schedule an appointment with him. And in the meantime, the most natural question that everybody has, including a screaming internal pastoral voice, is screaming, figure out what you're going to do, man. And everybody else is wondering, where are we going? What are we doing? And I have the peace of God, and I also have the tension of trying to be a good steward because I don't know the answer to the question. And every time people are asking, or every time I'm asking myself, or the devil sticking his finger in my face, I'm just like, I just have this peace that we're not supposed to go hunt down other church options. We're just supposed to kind of trust that this thing with the Vine is either going to work or we're going to die and that's okay. I mean, I don't know. I just kind of felt like we're just supposed to leave it alone. It's just, I wasn't going as far as to say the Vine or bust. I was just saying, I feel a check in my spirit about going around and trying to make a bunch of things work in a church setting. I just don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. I think I'm supposed to be investing my energy into trying to get us into the lease space. Now, that's a little bit of a gamble, because if he comes back with nothing, well, then we stuck. So we're going to be doing church on the street or at McDonald's, you know, for a while. And so, so I don't really know. I just have this feeling in my spirit, hey, we're supposed to wait. So we just kind of waited on it. And it turns out it panned out, and the Lord opened that door. Well, I'm glad that it did. But in the middle of that, the only other church that now wait, I know I'm rambling here. The only other church that I did approach was this church across the street from Arlington High, and I did it because my pastor told me to, and I do everything my pastor tells me. So he said, Brad, I think you ought to go check out the church across the street from Arlington High. And I said, yes, sir, and I went that day. That didn't pan out, but I just want to throw in there, I did go and check out a church because my spiritual leadership told me to do something he thought was good counsel in my life. It wasn't exactly what I was thinking and feeling, but I went with what he said. And I'll tell you this, that's probably the only time he's been off, ever. The band always has the word of the Lord for us, and I believe that might still, we'll see what later, who knows what. All I know is that was the only one I went looking for. But while it was the only one I went looking for, three other churches approached me. Hey, we heard through the grapevine. Hey, so-and-so told us. Hey, you need a place, need a place. And now we've got multiple options on the table of churches that we could move into that I'm not sure what to do with, that the Lord just kind of brought to us. I didn't have to go hunting for. It was kind of fun to wind up with four options that I only had to go pursue one of them, you know? It was just a good thing that the Lord did. All right, well, a couple of days after Andy and I met with the pastor over at the Vine, I had a dream. And again, I don't want to stress this as some super prophetic oracle that I had 20 years ago. It wasn't. I had it, you know, like just a week after we met, or the week we met or something, a few days later. But in the dream, I had a short dream where I was driving by the Vine Fellowship. And as I did, I decided to go in and look inside. But I must have known that I was going to be there because I had prearranged with one of their pastors for him to give me a tour of the facility. And the idea was, we're going to wind up here. We need to tour the facility to figure out where we're going to put the children's ministry and where we're going to do this and where we're going to do that. And so here again, the Lord leading and going, this direction you're heading, just stay course. Stay the course. You're on track. Just keep going. All right. Well, now I want to tell you some strange things that I believe. I believe that the Lord wants to give this church many buildings. Give many buildings. And I believe it for a number of reasons that I want to go through with you, because this is the purpose of this three-part series is not just to tell what the Lord has been saying about where we're at, but also to cast a little bit of vision for where the Lord has been saying for years that we're going. I don't want us to misunderstand where we're at or the next step we're going to make or even the next step, because the Lord's been speaking for years, even before this church started, about where we're headed. I was on the floor just a few minutes ago in worship, and I don't normally do that, but I just felt the Lord. I got down on the floor, and I was just thinking about what I'm about to say here, specifically even in this part about all these buildings and stuff. And I was just like, Lord, we are just so small and so tiny. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, when in any of your circumstances has your outward expression been a true reflection of your future? And I was like, well, never. Never. Like, you always have, you've been telling me these crazy things forever, and they happen. They just don't ever happen quite the way I wanted or when I wanted. But they always happen. They're just big and crazy. And in the meantime, we just kind of get to look foolish. I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit smile at me like, just there you go. Just kind of rub my head, you know. Like, okay, great. Well, I'll look foolish. Here we go. Let's look like a fool. It's a lot of fun. So I wanted to share, I'm not going to share the dreams. That would take way too long. I'm just going to share the dates and kind of the title that I gave the dream, okay? There have been a number of dreams that I've had about unspecified church buildings being given to us. So what I mean by unspecified is I don't know what the church is. There have been a number of dreams where I had a dream and the Lord was giving me that church. It was clear. Sometimes it was just the building. Sometimes it was the building and the congregation. But there's been a number of these dreams over the years. That's a weird thing to have a track record of. I mean, that is a weird thing to have had so many dreams about. One, okay. Two, weird. 20, that's a problem. Okay? And so I've had so many of these dreams. I'm just going to share a few of them here. In 2009, I had a dream where I was given a building in a church building in Arlington. In 2010, and I've got the dates written down. I've got these dreams. I'm just not reading them all to you. It wouldn't be profitable. But I'm just kind of tracking here. 2010, I had a dream about us being given a church still in the city, but it was kind of out of the way. 2011, I had a dream about being given an African church. And so I don't know if that's the congregation and that's what it was. In 2012, I had a dream about being given a church in downtown Mansfield. In 2013, I had a dream about being given a good-sized church facility. 2013, I was in October 2013. Now, I share those as one category, unspecified. Well, then I've had dreams about being given specific churches. You guys, it's unnerving to sleep like this. I go to sleep, it's dangerous. I don't know what scandalous thing is going to come to my mind before I wake up. I'm more afraid of me asleep than I am awake. I've got at least enough self-control to not do anything stupid while I'm awake. But while I'm asleep, I am vulnerable. And the Lord says stuff. I've had multiple dreams. I'm not going to tell you the churches. I don't think that would be helpful. But I've had at least four dreams that I'm willing to share. I share the fact that I had them anyway. In 2013... I had a dream about being given a facility. That was on September 30th, 2013. On May 9th, 2014, I had a dream about being given a different church. In August, the 25th of August, 2017, I had a dream about being given yet a third church, three different churches. In 2017, in December, the December 1st, 2017, I had a dream about being given another church. All of these are in Arlington. All four of these congregations are in Arlington. I don't go to bed going, God, give me dreams. This is a weird thing. I just want you to understand, this is a weird thing. I want to tell you, I believe it's the Lord's purpose. I don't have any reservation about that. I don't particularly like maybe the way that you have to now look at me. That's not so much fun. But I want to tell you, I believe that the Lord is going to give us churches. I believe he's going to give us buildings. He's going to give us congregations. He's going to give us churches. I don't believe that because I want that. I don't care. I'm happy. I'd like for things to grow a little. I mean, I am not in love with, you know, just 35 and no more. I'd love for us to grow a little and then grow a little more. I like healthy growth. That would be fun. That's not at all the Lord's plan for this church. The Lord's plan for this church is the total opposite of that. It's the most violent, opposite, painful, crazy, exciting, impossible journey ever. That's what the Lord wants to do with this church. The slow growth thing, that's normal. That would be fun. The Lord's not into normal with us. That is not the plan for this congregation. The plan for this congregation is painfully small, painfully big. Pain. Okay? Now, I've told you two categories of dreams. Let me now tell you something I'm not sure if I've shared with you guys before. This is perhaps the most unnerving thing of all. I am 37. I do not have any ministry that would merit these men approaching me. I have had five different pastors in this city. Five. This is real life. This is not dreams. Five different pastors in this city approach me and tell me they want to give me their building. I've had five. Now, none of them have done it. But what human being have you ever met that has been told by five different pastors? They're not like all like in a Bible study together going, okay, it's your week. You go the carrot before him. Just dangle it. Tell him you'll give him your church. Okay, holy, now you. Wait, he's rebounded. He's back buoyed in spirit after we didn't do it. Okay, now you go tell him. It's not like that. I have had five different senior pastors of churches in Arlington come up to me, they started the conversation, and say, hey, you know, I think I want to give you our church. That is weird. Well, I mean, I guess it's no weirder than the dreams. It seems to back up the dreams. The Lord just loves to say stuff, and he is slow to do stuff. I mean, he is quick to talk and just real patient and careful to do. And it's probably better that way, because this way I get to work out a lot of humility. I get to experience all the ache of the smallness and the why are my, what are my motives? Do I really care about this? Do I just want Jesus? It's good for us as a church because the Lord has great destiny for this congregation, far bigger than what our expression merits. But the Lord has got purpose in all this. I tell you, it's unnerving. One in 2012, one in 2013, one in 2015, one in 2016, one in 2017. Pastors approach me. Well, okay, that's... Four solidly approached me. The fifth alluded to it but didn't approach me, but the message got back to me. Okay? So I'm throwing him in there. Okay? That's five pastors in one city. This is odd. This is odd. We don't have a large enough congregation for a pastor to even think about what we're doing and go, that'd be a good thing to hand this off to. This is odd. But this is who we are. This is who we are in the Spirit. This is what the Lord's doing with this congregation. All right, well, I want to keep going because there's a lot more to say. So one day, Adam and I are driving over. Now, you got to just check this, okay? I have a pastor in my life who is intimately involved in the details of my life and the big decisions for this church and all that stuff. I talk to Adam frequently, especially when I need him, which seems more and more these days. I wonder if he's going to block my calls next time. I get Adam involved because I need counsel, because I want his wisdom, and because the Lord uses him frequently to speak into my life and to Amy's life to help us stay the short and narrow. Again, I'm advertising the wisdom of spiritual authority. We all need it, including your pastor, and your pastor has it. That's safe for you, by the way. So I'm driving with Adam over to meet with one of the pastors who has started. I got to say this. These five pastors, some of them, we had conversations for years. Like, I'm going over and going, we're working out details and budgets and move dates and transition moments and leadership shifts. We're working through details, and it didn't land. Okay, so I'm not saying they just arbitrarily called me up one day and said something weird and then it was over. I'm talking about went through a process. Like, we're going to give you this, and we meet and we meet and we meet and we meet, that kind of thing. Well, we're meeting with one of those pastors, Adam and I are. And we're going over to have this meeting. I think it was meeting three with one of these pastors. And as we drove over there, Adam kept saying to me, this is just an interesting phrase, Brad, God is trying to give you a building. He's trying to give you a building. And he's kind of like excited with me, but he's also trying to get me excited. And I kept telling him, I'm like, Adam, this is like number four. He's like, no, Brad, God's trying to give you a building. He kept saying that phrase. God's trying to give you a building. Now, the reason I stress that, I was in another church preaching just how long later? A few days later. I was preaching a few days later in another church, okay? And in that church, the pastor's wife gets up and starts talking on the microphone during announcements, okay? And she starts talking, and then all of a sudden, she just shifts and she starts prophesying during announcements. It's a lot of fun, okay? This is what she said. She said, you know that big prayer that you're praying for? And then she shifts, and though speaking from the Lord's heart, looks right at me and says, I want to give you a building. And then, after she looked right at me, then she starts to tell the story of how the Lord had supernaturally given their church the building that we were in. And starts to tell me, well, I mean, the Holy Spirit's telling me, I don't know what the congregation thinks is going on. This is a really weird thing for the congregation. Can you imagine this? They go to the church, okay? God wants to give you a building. Let me tell you how we got this building. That's a weird thing to say, okay? Except that it was for me. Okay, so I'm hearing this message right after my pastor says, God's trying to give you a building. Now it's 3 days later and I'm preaching at church and the lady says, God's going to give you a building. And I'm like, this is so weird. And then she tells the story of the supernatural, how she got the building. And I was like, Lord, what? Would you just stop talking already? Give me the building. It's way easier. Just, I'm here, you're here. I like you. Building. All right. So now let me tell you, let's transition, because I believe that's our future. I want to tell you that. I would be way more shocked to die having not been giving church buildings. I'm way more shocked because of how much information and how the Lord keeps backing it up, and I keep praying about it. I keep trying, Lord, I don't even care. The Lord's plan for this congregation is to have multiple church buildings. And we'll get into more of that a little bit later and in the future months and such. So growing in the lease space, I want to give you some words. Now, some of these are fun words that we've had that date back even to 2012 that I had no grid work for that are about what we're about to do. I am excited about what we're about to do when we move into this lease space because it's not just dreams about the fact of being in the lease space. It's also dreams about the destiny, about the even the function and the flow of the church in that space. Some details that are pretty fun. First, Peyton had a dream in February of 2017. And in this dream, it says we were at a Sunday service and having announcements. And you were asking parents, so this is now she's talking about me, you were asking parents that want their children to be dedicated to get ready to come up. Everyone forgot that we were doing it that day because it was only announced one time a few months before, so no one was prepared. I went up to grab John and to get him to dedicate our baby, and all these new people started coming into the church. Some of them really loved the Lord. Others thought that they did, but had no real idea what it was to be a Christian. Then I felt so important because all my old friends from high school had come into the church and they wanted to sit by me. So I had this huge crowd of people around me, and I knew it was because I had evangelized to them. And that's why they were there and wanted to be with me. Now, when Peyton had this dream, this was in February 2017, even when she had the dream, the focus on the dream was all about evangelism. That's how I read it. It was new people coming in that were there by evangelism. So she's representing one person in the church that's got people around her. How did those people get there? They were evangelized to. That's how they got there. So here is a dream about us being in some sort of service setting where things are transitioning and there's a focus on evangelism from our congregation that is causing church growth. Okay? Next, I had a dream in 2012. Very similarly, as far as the overarching theme. I had a dream where I approach a group of lost young people who had been living in the world, and I extended my arms toward them, and I began to pray, repent and receive Jesus right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that a season of refreshing may come. The four of them fell down under the power of God and fell under deep conviction and were instantly converted. They had been hard-hearted, but now all of them rose from the ground with bright countenances, soundly converted with big smiles. I looked over and saw our church on the bank of the pond. This is the same pond that I had in the dream where the first dream that I shared, I'll share it here again in a minute, so I'm just going to make reference to that pond. Our church is at the bank of the pond, okay? That's an important detail I'll get to later. Doing some sort of fun fellowship event, and all of these new believers were welcomed in immediately, and this became their new family. So I had this dream in 2012 about a future season for our church where power evangelism, we're moving in the gifts of the Spirit. We're moving, and people are being added to the church. But it's interesting because in the dream, the church was still very small. So this isn't like revival hitting later. This is while the church is still relatively small, and specifically it's related to us being at the bank of that pond. That's very important. I'll get to it in a minute, but just remember that bank of the pond, okay? So Cherish Cooper had a dream in 2014 that when she had it, we didn't know what to do with it. She didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it, but I wrote it down. She had a dream in 2014 that seems to be about this next season where FF will experience some growth and a little bit of the move of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Here's the dream. This is February 20th of 2014. I had a dream where we were in church service and a girl started loudly praying and declaring freedom for someone in the congregation. She called out something that he was struggling with, and another girl yelled out, "That's the word of the Lord." And then she started prophesying over him. He began travailing, and then I fell under the weight of the Lord. And then everyone else in the room fell under the weight of the Lord and on the floor. This is all describing a little move of the Holy Spirit in our midst, in our services, a little bit of the juice. The Spirit moving in our midst, where prophecy is flowing, where the Spirit is moving and shifting. The dream was not a full out, like, big congregation, whatever. It was still defining a small congregation. I believe that we're entering into a season where we're going to start to experience some of this. I can tell you this, I'm for sure going to pray it and die praying it, that this is what the Lord wants for us in this next season. In November of 2017, my wife had a dream. My wife never dreams. And when she does, it's important. And I know it. And I take note. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but it's God. And we'll figure it out when it's time. She had this dream in 2017, in November. In the dream, the lead team was meeting in a side room and then went into the sanctuary. There were a lot of people in the room, and we were all shocked by how many people had come into the church. I was trying to sit next to someone, but I couldn't find a seat to fit us all. Most of the new people were young people who had come to check out our church. I went over to Brad on the front row to sit down, but surprisingly, there weren't even seats up at the front. Well, we're not there yet. But here's this sanctuary with a little side room. Just the way that this dream feels, I'll say it that way, it feels very much like the least space. Small enough that we could fill it out if something happened. There's like going to be one side room, well, two. It's going to be a bit of a tight fit for us. Crammed into a lease space, as I dreamt about in 2000, whatever. Here's another one. This was August of 2017. I had a dream specifically about Foreigner Fellowship moving to Sunday mornings for services and the things that the Lord was going to do there. In my dream, Foreigner Fellowship had just moved to Sunday mornings in a different facility. So we had just moved in to a different facility, but it was Sunday mornings. So that doesn't fit the move to the Vine, but it does fit the move to the lease space, okay? There were many new faces in the room, mostly young adults and young families, maybe 150. I felt the Holy Spirit on me, and I got everyone's attention, and I exhorted these young adults to have fiery hearts for Jesus. I said this: I'm always so much cooler in my dreams than in real life. I like Dream Brad. Okay, here's what Dream Brad said. Dream Brad said, "It was just a minute ago that I was 20 years old with a fiery heart for Jesus, like many of you in this room today. I still have that fire for Jesus, but what you don't realize is how difficult it's going to be to keep that fiery passion for the next decade plus of your life. The true test of your love for Jesus is not your zeal today, but how that zeal is sustained over time. The most important thing you can do is tend that fire and position yourself in a place where you can grow, be challenged, and keep a fiery heart." As I started, there was real excitement in the room, but as I finished, there was this sober tone of commitment. As I was prophesying to this group of mostly 20-year-olds that were a part of a kind of a fresh start or a reboot for us as a congregation, presumably in the lease space, presumably. Words about significant growth. Now, what I've told you about so far is how we're going to get to 100. How we're going to get to 100, 150, somewhere in that realm there. I think, okay, let me put the disclaimer in there. What I think is going to happen, there sure has been a lot of information that would make me think that. What I think is going to happen is I think we're going to move over to the Vine. I think the Lord is going to be with us there. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how many people add in the few months that we're at the Vine. I say few months. We've tried this before, figuring out the timing of the Lord. However long we're at the Vine, whatever happens there, I think the Lord's going to be with us. But I think when we move to that Sunday morning, we're going to put a new focus on evangelism, which was in our plan in the natural anyway. We're going to start to see the Lord move. We're going to start to gel as a congregation. There are going to be people that start to run with us and track with us and get what we're doing and what we're about, because it's our time. It's our season. And I believe in that moment, we're going to start to grow, because that's the leading of the Lord. But that's not the growth that the Lord's been talking to me about for a decade. For this church. You know, it stands to reason to ask the question, why would such a small church like this one need buildings? What a silly thing. How are we going to pay for it? What are we going to do? Okay, you and your small group, all four of you, that's your church over there. Okay, and you six, you're really going to fill out that one. All right, and lead team, all 12 of us, we'll pack out the big one. Okay, what in the world are we talking about here? This is weird. The Lord gave me a vision about, not vision like a prophetic vision, just in my heart, I knew it was the Lord. Gave me a vision about this church having multiple campuses in Arlington and one day being a mega church, but with a different expression than a typical mega church. Typically a mega church, it's everybody at one campus. Or everybody at multiple campuses, but those campuses are separated by distance. I felt like the Lord was showing us, we're going to have a sizable congregation in Arlington with multiple campuses in Arlington. And each of those are going to have a little bit unique expression, but are all going to be connected back to the prayer room and help fuel a prayer furnace for our region. I felt like that's what the Lord showed me. And so these buildings are actually going to come into play at some point, and it's going to matter. Well, we do have to grow for that to matter. What a silly thing. So let me just tell you some of the dreams I had. One in 2012, okay? This was the one, this is the dream I told you about the pond, okay? I'm going to read it again because I want you to understand this was the plumb line dream. I'm going to give you the backdrop, just 2 minutes. I prayed and asked the Lord before we started Foreigner Fellowship a few months before. I said, Lord, if you want me to start a church, I can't imagine how I'm going to have time to do that. If you want me to start a church, I need you to lead me in dreams like you've led me in dreams for the prayer room. You've been faithful to lead me for the prayer room for how many years? If we're going to do this thing for Foreigner Fellowship too, I need you to lead me the same way. I don't know how to do this. I am not smart enough. I am not a good enough leader. I need you to lead me. And I said, so Lord, I need you right now. I know you're with me. I believe you're going to do this crazy thing I'm about to ask. I'm going to go take a nap right now. I need you to give me a dream about Foreigner Fellowship and how this is going to work. Okay? Pinky promise? All right, nap time. Now, it's like the only time I can remember doing this and believing it was going to happen and like having faith and like believing I was actually in a conversation with the Lord, okay? I laid down and I had this dream. I was about to jump into a pool that I knew represented Foreigner Fellowship in its early days. I had some difficulties at first, and then something very strange happened. All the water in the pool drained out, and now I was climbing out of a dry pool bottom, confused about what had happened. When I took my first step out of the pool and I looked back, it wasn't a pool. It was a dried up lake bed that I knew represented the future of Foreigner Fellowship. I stepped out of the lake bed, shocked about the transition, and I went to talk to my father about how crazy this was. I pointed at the lake, but now the lake was completely full, overflowing with water, water raging. I knew this represented Foreigner Fellowship's miraculous and unexplainable overnight growth. My father asked me how it was so full since there had been no rain, but I couldn't talk. In the dream, I said to myself, and I had the feeling, this is the most miraculous thing I have ever experienced. And I woke up from the dream, and I knew exactly what the Holy Spirit was saying. You're going to start this church, and it's going to be small. Then it's going to dry up. You think small is bad. Wait till it's small and dries up. Wait till difficulties come and even people leave. And we've experienced all that. I'm grateful to be finally taking a step out of that pool, by the way. But then when we take a step out of the pool, now we look back, and instead of it being a pool, now it's an empty lake bed representing a much larger bowl to be filled with when it's water time. And then I go and I talk to my father and I start to explain, I don't really understand what's happening here. And now the thing is miraculously filled with water, like a tempest raging. I mean, just the waters, the waves. It was unbelievable. It looked like the Atlantic Ocean or something. But it's this pond. This is the pond, the same pond. I mean, like in my dream, I know exactly where this pond is in real life. Okay? It was behind my parents' house where they live. And in this dream, this pond is the scene for all this. This dream, the pond was the plumb line dream for this church, as far as I'm concerned. It was the word that the Lord gave me first about where this church was going, and it's helped me to weather through the last 5 years of great difficulty because I had it before it started. I had it about 6 months before we launched the church, and I knew this was our destiny. This is where we're going. So as we started to experience some of that pool drying up stuff, I was like, well, there it is. Oh, another droplet gone. Okay, here we go. This is fun. But I also knew it was unto the rest of the fulfillment of the dream. So this is the pond that I was referencing in that other dream. where power evangelism is going forth. We're laying hands on people. They're getting healed. They're getting hit with conviction. They're coming to Jesus, and they're all joining this little church that's at the bank of the pond. They're at the bank of the pond. It's before the pond explodes and starts raging and doing all the crazy stuff. They're just standing there, this little congregation, this little fellowship, starting to add to its numbers by a small but real move of the Holy Spirit. Had a dream in October 2012. This dream was powerful. I got a prophetic word from the Lord. I was praying in our prayer room back at 939 West Pioneer Parkway. And I was pacing back and forth, and I had one of the more powerful encounters I've had with the Lord. I'll just qualify it that way. I heard the Lord say, the next season will be the best season of your life. And I asked if the season pertained to TPR, and I felt the clear impression that it would apply to TPR, to Foreigner Fellowship, to my marriage, to finances, relationships. Even my friends would be blessed. And as I was searching for whether the blessing merely pertained to the prayer room or to this or that, I heard the Lord say clearly in my spirit, I will bless everyone connected to you. That term, I will bless everyone connected to you. So the Lord's going to do something so big in the lives of, kind of like he's done something so devastating and difficult in the lives of all you blessed people who are connected to me. Oh my goodness, you poor souls. Well, the Lord told me before it got bad, the Lord said, I'm going to bless everybody who's connected to you, as if to say, those that are going to run with you are going to go through the ringer, but if they'll stick with you, there's a time where things will all be okay, and the Lord's going to bless. Now, the reason I share this is because sometime later, I was at a Bible study. I got invited to lead a Bible study for a little group in Mansfield, and while I was there, Andy was with me that night. While I was there, a pastor and his wife come to the Bible study. That's not intimidating at all. In a little Bible study, and all of a sudden, a pastor and, you know, a wife come in. And I'd known him. And the pastor's wife, she starts prophesying over me here in the Bible study. And she says, there's a birthing in the Spirit over you and over your ministry. The Lord is going to birth something new. New in your ministry that everyone in the area will know. There's a birthing about to take place in your ministry. The finances are coming. He is about to release blessing on everyone you are connected to. Exact phrase. It's unnerving. This is a weird way to live, I promise you. You kind of go, wow, that's cool. You got to recognize there were a lot of months in there. I just kind of thought I was crazy. And now I know I'm crazy. Because she's saying the exact words, I'm going to bless everyone you're connected to. So I just want to tell you, I mean, this is just me being transparent. I pray for all of you frequently. Lord, bless everyone I'm connected to. I pray that prayer because it's language the Lord's given me on multiple occasions. That's not the only two times I've had that phrase prayed over me from people that didn't know the story. Everyone you're connected to, because the Lord's wanting me to know, and to a good extent you as well, this is on purpose, all of it. The Lord's doing all this. This is not accidental. We're not small. Do you understand? We have got some, like, excellent leaders. We've got really a sweet community. We've got a worship culture. We're praying for revival. We've got young adults. There's actually a whole lot of reasons this church should be growing leaps and bounds. I mean, if you just look at the church growth, you know, chart, okay? We've got all the stuff we're supposed to have, except the worship leader, but we're praying about that. But we've got all that, and we're not growing. It's actually supernatural ungrowth. It's supernatural. It's the Lord going, it's not time yet. I will not let you grow. If you grew, I'd just take. I won't let you grow. It's not time yet. There is a season. There is a time for all this. Well, I had a dream in 2014, and I share this because, well, I'm not at all afraid to be transparent about the finances, but in the middle of that, I really want to tell you what this dream necessitates is church growth, significant church growth, okay? I had a dream, and in the dream, I was saying the following phrase. Well, guys, I guess I should put all of you on salary now and start you off at $40,000 a year, talking about my leadership team. And it was clear that FF had transitioned, had grown significantly, and that the finances had transitioned so dramatically for us that this sort of step was a no-brainer. Now, in order for me to be able to put a leadership team of, let's say it was just, you know, five people, the one per couple or something, $40,000 each per year? We ain't going to be this size, okay? That ain't going to happen. That necessitates growth. Why would I even dream such a weird thing? Because it's our future. This is where things are going. And the hassle that our poor leadership team is going to have to put up with when we've got all those buildings and growth and this and that, they'll need the $40,000 just so they won't leave me. All right? Well, January of this year, we're getting close. I'm wrapping up here in about 5 minutes. January of this year, I had a dream where Foreigner Fellowship was in a different facility. So again, another facility, but this time we're now experiencing much bigger growth than the 100. We just moved into this very simple space, had not yet even had the chance to make the upgrades to it yet. It was a large room with a stage and lights overhead, and the floor was all tile, and we had grown significantly, and the room was nearly full with young people. There were at least 400 to 500 young people in the room. For some reason in the dream, Alan Hood had come that morning to speak at our church. Things felt good and growing, almost like things had been growing so fast that we were having to come up with solutions to the growth very quickly, but weren't really able to keep up with it. This is one of the first dreams that I had about Foreigner Fellowship that's in great relation numerically to the words that the Lord's given us about the prayer room, growing to 400 to 500 young people. I think that these two things grow up together in the spirit. I think that the Lord's purpose is always going to be that Foreigner Fellowship and the prayer room have got this interesting prophetic journey together where the Lord's doing similar things at the same time. We've got a future in revival. This church has been formed as a church, praying for revival, believing for revival, and I believe that we're going to experience that revival. I won't go into the rest of those details, but I will share one more thing because it's just funny that Andrew's sitting right here. I've got one word on here. We were in a time of worship, and we were a couple buildings ago or one building ago, whatever it was, and Andrew Meek had a vision in the middle of worship. He said, I saw a ginormous geyser. That's Andrew Meek language if ever I heard it. I saw a ginormous geyser that was shooting up super high with lots of water coming down. There was a sign in front of it that said Foreigner Fellowship. And thousands of people were coming to it. They weren't standing at a distance just in the mist that was falling. They were getting right underneath it and getting soaked from the water that was coming down on them. And they were getting healed and hit by the power of God. See, I want to tell you, there's a lot about our future that I can't exactly pinpoint, but it doesn't look anything like our past. The destiny of this church is not at all defined by our current expression. Our DNA is the same, now, forever, and the Lord will continue to add things and help us to understand and clarify things. But I want us to understand as a congregation, this is not our destiny indefinitely. This is very purposeful, and the Lord's been speaking about it long before it even started, the path that this church would take. And I am excited because now the Lord's saying good things are about to happen. So even if I'm wrong, I'm going to throw all of my hope and intercession into it. And I would encourage you to do similarly in your tax returns. And that the Lord would help us get into this lease space, would help us kick things off, get things started. The word that I love was that word where the visitors were coming to check out this new church that they'd never heard of, this new church that they didn't know existed, this new church that had a little bit of something on it. It was a little bit of something on this church. They wanted to be a part of it. It was a young adult congregation, not only, but primarily. Young adult congregation where the Lord is moving and the Spirit of the Lord is there and the prophetic is flowing and worship is sweet and the Lord is moving. And that being the seedbed for the start of all that the Lord has for us in the future. I want to tell you this. I will be content with whatever the Lord does. And I will get to content even when he does things I really, really don't like. There have been so many moments of disappointment over the course of the last 5 years. There have been so many moments. I am totally content. Lord, I love you. You can do whatever you want. I am not telling you this to tell you my plan. I am telling you this to tell you as a messenger what I believe clearly is the Lord's plan for this congregation. This is where we're headed. And so some of this, I believe, is going to start unfolding even here in the next couple of months. And I just want to ask you to pray into it.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.